And this is Pedro Reyes. I'm right here on Setting the Standard, KPFA 94.1. And right now we're going to have Hillary Hacker from Art Forces telling us a little bit about the resurfacing exhibition that's going to be taking place at the Mission Cultural Center. The opening is January 15th, this Wednesday, from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. So welcome to the show, Hillary. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Right on. So tell us a little bit about Art Forces and what's happening with the exhibition of resurfacing.
I've been working with Art Forces for about the past 5 years. We're previously known as Break the Silence Media and Art Project, and we have been here all weekend here getting ready for the resurfacing show. And we're really excited to have the opportunity to really provide a space and an outlet for a lot of these different efforts that are happening throughout the world, specifically around water, but also many different efforts that are happening around human rights violations throughout the world now and also historically.
Word. And tell us a little bit about Art Forces and what are you doing there?
So I have a few different roles with Art Forces. Most of what I do a lot of the social media work, but I also am a photographer, documenter for a lot of the projects that we've been doing. And I actually came on board about 5 years ago through the Olympia Rasa Solidarity Mural Project, which is located in Olympia, Washington, and was actually inspired by the death of Rachel Corrie, who was killed in Palestine about a little over 10 years ago. And so I was actually pulled into the organization through my work around immigration. So a lot of what Susan Green does with her projects is finds ways to connect different social justice issues throughout the world. And it's really powerful doing that in the form of art and also creating spaces for different organizations, different movements, community groups to express their work through art and visually so that, you know, we can all have different ways of connecting and different ways of understanding the connections between all of these different struggles throughout the world.
And my understanding is there's a lot of connections to what's happening with the water rights in Palestine, right? Have you been there at all yourself? And tell us a little bit about if you have.
I was actually just recently in Gaza with Art Forces and Dr. Susan Green in December, and we also visited with the Middle East Children's Alliance and the SJ Foundation in July of 2011. So, yeah, there has been a lot of efforts in Gaza and in the West Bank to call attention to the water crisis that is happening there. And, yeah, there's a huge disparity with the ways that water shows up in Palestine and the ways that water shows up in Israel. You know, it's very telling, particularly when you're in the West Bank and you can see the houses, you can kind of look out over a hill, you can see the wall and you can see the settlements, and then you can also see Palestinian villages. And for me, the way that I can tell which is Palestinian is the water tanks on top of the homes. So you'll see black water tanks on top of Palestinian homes, and you won't see that on top of Israeli homes. Israeli homes have plumbing. They have water running through their homes, and they aren't necessarily having to collect water, fill up their tanks, and also pay kind of a ridiculous amount for water. And then in Gaza as well, certain things are allowed through the checkpoints and certain things aren't. And water is definitely one of those things that is restricted. Also, you see sewage running into the sea, places where sewage treatment facilities have been bombed. And so you also see there's a lot of groundwater and seawater seeping into the aquifer. One of the big campaigns right now is called Thirsting for Justice, and it's through EWASH, who is an organization who is featured here at the resurfacing exhibit. And they have a campaign calling attention to bringing awareness to the fact that as of 2016, Gaza will be completely out of drinking water.
Now, tell us a little bit about these checkpoints. Did you get to experience these checkpoints for yourself?
Yes, I have been through the checkpoints a few times, and you know, it's very different for me because I am a white American woman, so I don't necessarily have the experience that other people do going through the checkpoints, Palestinians specifically, or people of color. But, you know, even just being in that situation and really seeing the power and the control that exists, and the things that people are forced to go through in order to move, you know, just a few miles, you know, you're not moving very far, but it takes hours. And yeah, it's pretty upsetting.
Tell us a little bit about what you witnessed just in that little bit of time when you've gone through those checkpoints, like your surroundings, basically.
Well, you know, interesting, when we went to, this last time when we went to Gaza, the checkpoint to Gaza was closed for 3 or 4 days. It was flooded. And what was really interesting about that was, you know, well, the checkpoint was closed and they kind of had to restructure the way that they're moving people through it. But on our way back, we saw that the flood had actually broken the wall. It had actually broken the apartheid wall. There was about 4 slabs of concrete that were on its side. So that was a pretty powerful thing to witness, is the flood actually did, it kind of uprooted the wall. Mind you, it was uprooted at the checkpoint at the Erez crossing, so it was very, you know, controlled. But it was really interesting to see that. But, you know, mostly what you see when you go through checkpoints in the West Bank is a lot of traffic. You know, it takes a long time to get through a checkpoint. Once you get to the checkpoint, there's, you know, 3 or 4 Israeli soldiers at each point who are, you know, young folks with guns, and they're, you know, asking for ID, and they want to check everybody's passport. When we were there in 2011, we were with a larger group, and there was a few times where the soldiers actually came up onto the bus to, you know, with arms and everything to check each of our passports. So, you know, it's very, very controlled, and I think really the hardest part for me traveling to Palestine is leaving through Tel Aviv, through Ben Gurion Airport. And this last time we were there, we got stopped in the car before we even got to the airport and were asked questions about where we had been and why we were there. We're asked to get out of the car, bring all of our belongings. They comb through everything, you know, to make sure that you aren't carrying a bomb or anything, you know, through Israel. And they actually say that to you, you know, we believe that someone may have given you explosives, so we need to, you know, check everything. And so they, you know, they go through all of your belongings, and then they kind of cover your entire body. They take you into a private room and kind of comb through everything to be sure that you're not carrying anything onto the plane. It's pretty excessive, and it's a pretty, you know, you feel really powerless, but also there's just kind of a lot of anger for me, because I'm thinking of all the people I just left in Gaza who totally welcomed me into their home and their space, and they served were fed and had enough coffee and were comfortable, and, you know, everyone is just so warm and welcoming and loving. And I think that compared to what you're experiencing in Israel is a huge disconnect.
No, most definitely. In that sense, I just wanted to point out too, and, you know, the fact that when folks are inside Gaza or inside Palestine, right, they're not able to have access to going out into getting water, for example, getting in, I mean, right? Because I know there's been a couple situations where they blocked gas from entering, I think it was, and water as well. I'm not sure. Medical supplies, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of that control going on as well. So even though it's just a natural resource, they still don't really have full access to it as a basic human right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. One of the guys that I interviewed, he worked for the Red Cross, and he kind of made a joke, and he said, you know, he was talking about how water is being controlled, and he's like, what next? They're going to control our oxygen? And I think that that's just really telling of a medical worker to be making jokes like that. You know, I mean, that's real. That's a real kind of concern and fear. You know, is that possible? Well, is it possible to control the, you know, water and these, you know, basic resources as oxygen? You know, it seems. It's happening. So, yeah.
And that's just one of the examples of the many ways that water is being privatized around the world, right? It's not just, you know, happening in Palestine, but it's also happening around the world, where most of the countries, you know, are being taken over by this privatization and having dams built and, you know, literally like destroying the natural resources as well, which is one of them is water.
Definitely, definitely. And that's one of the things that we're excited to be highlighting here at this exhibit, Resurfacing. We'll be highlighting different different struggles and different ways that communities are organizing around water rights throughout the world, and specifically with the SJ Foundation's water rights project. They've been, I think they've done 8 or 9 murals so far, but they have done projects in Palestine. They partnered with us in Gaza in 2011, the Philippines, Colombia, and also South Africa. Those are the international projects so far, and then other ones throughout California and in Phoenix, Arizona, but really, really connecting with communities in each of these places and really talking to people about their experiences with water, their relationship to water, their struggle with water. And so we'll be highlighting those projects and how each of the videos that were created in each of those communities here, as well as images of the murals here. So yeah, I think it's definitely a global issue. And, you know, it's also something that we're facing here in California, where I just heard today that we were going through a dry spell here and that we're not getting enough rainwater. And so, you know, soon they'll be looking for solutions and ways that we can be conserving our water here. So this is something that's definitely, you know, no one's there. We're all affected, right?
Yes, that's right. And once again, we are talking with Hillary Hackers. She's telling us a little bit about art forces, and also the resurfacing exhibit that's going to be taking place and opening up on Wednesday, January 15th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Mission Cultural Center for Latino Arts, and it'll be there till the 21st of February. So whenever you get a chance, definitely bring out the kids, the family, and teach the youth the truth, you know, and what's happening, especially with the basic human rights and access to the resources that we all need to live on, basically. Now, real quickly before we go, how can folks find out more about art forces, and how can they get involved as well in future presentations or even in some of these art projects that you're talking about, locally or internationally?
Yeah, we're definitely always looking for folks to be involved, and we have our website is artforces.org. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as Art Forces. So really easy ways to stay connected and up to date on the things that we're doing. Yeah.
Word, most definitely. And, you know, talking about also the local issues, I know we have the Hetchy Hetchy here, and it's also another water source that's being privatized right here locally in San Francisco, from my understanding. I just want to ask you real quick, for the youth out there, what would you say to them if you could tell them how important water is, and in that sense of, you know, why we need it to be able to be clean and drinking for everybody in the future?
That's a good thing to think about. What do we tell the youth? You know, I think with everything, I think it's really important for us to have an understanding of where our water is coming from. Also to have an understanding of, you know, the relationship to water. Why is water important? How does water make you feel? And really just think that relationship is really important, and things to think about, and also helps us to feel more connected with the earth and with, you know, people all over the world. So it's a good something to think about a little bit more, though. I like that question.
Right on. Well, thank you for all your good work, and definitely we'll be on the lookout for Art Forces and, you know, what's happening at the Mission Cultural Center. I hear there's other events that are going to be taking place, and if folks want to get more information on that, they can go to Art Forces.
Artforces.org, yeah. For more information, we have events happening actually every Wednesday till February 19th. And on February 19th, we'll actually be having a report back. So for more information about our Art Forces' recent trips to the Middle East, so we've been doing some work in refugee camps of Lebanon as well as in Gaza and the West Bank. So we're looking forward to talking about that. And then, yes, lots of other really exciting things happening throughout the month, including the opening, which should be really fun. It's on January 15th, and we have some live music and poetry, and we should be a really good time.
And right on. Once again, that's Wednesday, January 15th at 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Mission Cultural Center for Latino Arts. If you want to get more information as well, you can also go to www.missionculturalcenter.org. Once again, Hillary, thank you for being with us right here on Setting the Standard.
Thank you so much, Pedro.
Orale pues, and once again, you are tuned in to Setting the Standard. We'll be right back after this quick music break. Don't forget, this Wednesday, January 15th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., 2868 Mission Street, San Francisco, Califas. And that's, again, the Mission Cultural Center for Latino Arts. We'll be right back after this quick music break.